Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode, episode 3, Paranormal Saloon. This is part of my doubleheader tonight. I had Jen Rose the first hour, and this time I have Kenny Biddle. People don't know who Kenny Biddle is. Kenny Biddle is chief investigator for the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry. And I've known Kenny a little bit, so without further ado, let's get him on here.
Hey there. How you doing?
Hey, bud. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Fantastic.
Great. Yeah. Awesome. So, yeah, I was kind of surprised when you sent me a message and wanted to come on the show, but I'm all down with it.
Well, that's great. I saw it. It popped up in my feed, and I was like, huh, all right. You know, you were asking if people wanted to come on, you know, just reach out. I was like, well, I'm not doing anything right now. Let me see.
Right.
Let me see if he'll go for it. So.
Right. Yeah. And for people who don't know that, you know, I'm sure they actually already do that. You know, you are a huge skeptic for the paranormal
and just a little bit.
Just a little bit for the paranormal and everything spiritual realm wise, you know. Tell me what is, you know, to kind of get this thing started, tell me the level of importance it is for you to be that accurate with your skeptic side of you.
Well, let me start by saying that skepticism is about questioning. It's about having doubts about extraordinary claims, about some claims, you know, that you're like, I'm not sure about that. So you're skeptical and you want to know a bit more. So you ask questions and you start digging. So it's definitely a different than cynicism, which is just outright refusal, refuting whatever is out there, out of hand. So that's not what I do. I'm on the skeptical side, but when it comes to how important things are that I get it right, like that's it. I mean, that's top priority. You got to make sure you know what you're doing. And everybody doesn't know, but I mean, you've seen it too. There is so much just misinformation out there. Everyone has their own ideas.
Yes.
There's a lot of good enough out there, you know, which is not good enough.
Right. It's not so good enough. No. I've seen plenty of that good enough, and I've seen enough of it.
I've seen you enough know what of I mean? It too.
You know, but yeah, I mean, there's been other, you know, people in the paranormal as of late. I mean, I've noticed a kind of an influx of people who really shy away from any type of skepticism. You know what I mean? And don't just want to take their word for it. You know, and I've seen that a lot. And it's kind of like, when did we get away from being, you know, skeptics? You know, when did we get away from actually trying to find the truth of how this could happen or why that happened or what led to this?
I honestly think it's always been a part of it. I mean, I was a ghost hunter back in the 90s, and I mean, it was there. It was all there. I mean, ghost hunters were very territorial, and it was like scientists and skeptics were evil. You know, they were the enemy, and they didn't know. And I'm going to use air quotes again. They didn't know what we knew, you know, the problem is that unfortunately most of the community just doesn't understand the scientific method, and how to properly investigate claims. There's a lot of assumptions made, and there's a lot of, you know, taking people's word for granted and taking people at their word and not questioning them because they quote unquote trust them, you know, like, that's a big thing with me. I trust people with certain things. I trust that, you know, I can lay down next to my wife at night and she's not going to smother me. You know, although sometimes I do Yeah, you wonder. Like, I'll sleep on the couch. You know,
yeah.
There's that kind of trust, but there's also where people mm-hmm. are. I mean, especially I hear this when they say like, "Oh, you know what? This picture is real. It's really a ghost because it came from so and so, and I trust them. I've known them for years." And I'm sorry, but your trust doesn't mean shit. It doesn't mean that your picture is a real ghost. It doesn't mean that it's accurate details. It doesn't mean anything except that you are taking someone's word for it without questioning. And I think that's just bad methodology overall.
Right.
I mean, if my mother tells me something, if my wife will be the first to tell you, like, if she says something and I'm like, I don't know about that. Yeah, sure. If she says something like, you know, I heard that this happened. And I'm like, who told you that? Who said that? Where? Yeah. Let's fact check it. And my phone comes right out and I start looking it up. So, and it's not that I'm being mean. It's just, I like to have good information. I like to have accurate information.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. If I try that with my wife and the only thing I'm going to get is wrong answer. She says that a lot. I'll be like, yeah, I don't think so. Oh, no, wrong answer. You know? So I've kind of learned to try to do my best to take her at her word. But even then, you know, but yeah, you know, God love her. And I do too, but
you got to pick your battles,
man.
You really do.
My mother told me that too, a long time ago, before you get married, pick your battles,
pick them. Cause sometimes I know when to shut up. Sometimes it's like, there's a balance. And sometimes I straddle the middle where I'm like, should I say something? I really want to say something, but I'm not going to say something because I know. I start thinking it through. I'm like, nah, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, yeah. You kind of run through that script, and you're like, yeah, that's not going to end well.
Yeah,
yeah. My mother always used to tell me too. Well, tell the women that I was with, make sure that you make sure that you make him think it was his idea.
Well, yeah,
and that's that. And to be honest with you, I mean that. That worked with my parents, and I know she always said that, you know, I always made it seem like it was his idea.
I mean,
it was mine.
I used to be like that, you know, and I think a lot of us are like that because we wanted to think, we want to feel like we're, and I'm going to go old school here. So forgive me, anyone that might take offense to this, but all going old school, it was like, you felt like the man of the house and you had to be the leader. You know, and you had that
right.
feeling of guilt if you were not. But I mean, I learned years ago, that's just not it, man. And if someone has an idea, if I have an idea, I'm going to take credit for it. But if somebody else gave me the idea, I'm definitely going to make sure they get credit for it because I don't like stealing credit. I don't like when other people steal credit. I'm a big, big stickler when it comes to plagiarism. I've dealt with that in the past. Right. And I just hate when people steal ideas.
So put that in perspective from the paranormal side and how, when you are fact checking and you're skeptic of, let's say, a picture or something like that, put that in perspective of, you know, this isn't my credit, but I have other people that are basically, you know, doing all these fact checking with me. Okay. You know what I mean? So you want that to be not just you, but as a collective, because of the fact that great ideas come from everywhere.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, we do that here. I mean, every morning there's a gathering. My coworkers come in here sometimes and we throw out ideas and we throw out projects.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of what I was getting at too, is that I was curious about that too. But how did that come about?
Which part?
With the group that you're in, the CSI.
Oh, so many, many moons ago, I was, like I mentioned, I was a ghost hunter, and I had I had an experience in Gettysburg where I realized people mistook me for a ghost. The Cliff Notes version is basically, we were in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. I was in a section of woods, the hospital that's next to the wheat field. And we were in there one night and a couple cars of kids came by. They were young ghost hunters and they were having fun. They parked, they started coming towards us. I marched out of the woods and I yelled at them to shut up and be quiet and don't get near us. You know, like I wanted them to go away. And the next morning, it was during a conference weekend, like one of the early conferences in early 2000. And they went back and that next morning they started telling everyone that they saw an apparition and they described me. And like I tried to tell them like, no, this was me. And they wanted nothing to do with it. Even though I described like the cars that they were driving, the clothes they were wearing, they couldn't, everything. And they still refused. So after that, I kind of started looking at myself and thinking like, all right, how many times did I tell a story and leave out details? Because I wanted it to be true. I wanted it to be what I thought it was. And that kind of led me, I was already going down the pathway of learning about photography. Because eventually I started doing wedding photography and family portraits and all kinds of, product photography. So I was learning about the camera and the operation and light with the sensor and film and realizing a lot of the pictures that were out there were not what we thought. They were mostly operator error, basically what it comes down to, misinterpretation. But that experience also led me to look into the skeptical paperwork, skeptical literature on this, on paranormal research and investigating these kind of claims. And the more I learned, the more I realized, shit, I'm doing a lot of work, a lot of stuff wrong, like completely wrong. And I wanted to do better. So I started learning and I wrote a book, a self-published book called Orbs or Dust. And it was all about photography. And it explained how most of these anomalies are captured on film and digital cameras, which were still new at the time. I think I published the book in 2007. Right. So digital cameras were out.
Yeah, they were still pretty new, though.
Definitely new. I mean, the Sony Mavica was one of the that was the first ones that were available for consumer. And I have them. I have the original two that were released. So I got in touch with Ben Radford, who is now my editor here at Skeptical Inquirer. And I sent him a copy of the book. Or actually, no, a friend of mine sent him a copy of my book. And he liked it, but he couldn't do a review on it because it wasn't an actually published book. It was, I made it myself.
Right.
So I did get in contact with him and started talking more. And he asked if I'd like to write some articles. They had a not for Skeptical Inquirer magazine, but they had a newsletter called Skeptical Briefs. And the Skeptical Inquirer magazine comes out every other month. So the Skeptical Briefs came out the opposite month and it was like a nice filler. So I did, I wrote an article for it, sent it in. He sent it back with revisions and mistakes. Oh. So I rewrote, I fixed it, sent it. He sent it back. And I was learning about editing and subtle peer review. Because he was pointing out mistakes and asking questions that I had not answered in the article. So,
So you were basically getting educated while you were doing it.
It was great. It was great. I mean, it was frustrating at the time.
Had to be a little frustrating too, though.
But eventually, I mean, I look back on it and I think that that's one of the best lessons I could have gotten because it was critiquing my work in real time and I learned from it. So now, actually, a little bit later, I started writing freelance for Skeptical Inquirer because they asked if I wanted to do more articles. And I said, yeah. So I started writing once in a while. And then that led to them asking if I would produce some videos for them. I said, sure, I'll do that. And then my predecessor, Joe Nickel, who used to work here doing exactly the same thing I did, and he did it for over 50 years. He retired. And they immediately reached out and said, do you want to take the position? I said, hell yeah.
You wanted to carry the torch? Yes.
So I uprooted my family from Philadelphia. And we moved up here to Buffalo. And I've been here for 2.5 years now, a little over 2.5 years. And I love it. They give me the resources I need to really investigate things in depth. and I get to do this all day. Like, this is my job. So awesome.
Yes. So yeah. So, you know, I've watched you over the last couple of years. You know, I've seen you do some good investigative work, and there's been some people that you had to investigate,
yeah,
you know, to prove that they were who they were. And, you know, as frustrating as the paranormal field, the way it is now, I mean, and all the infighting and the drama and all that stuff, it's kind of like, you know, I cannot wrap my head around the fact that a lot of these people that are doing this infighting and doing all this other stuff is like, you know, if you would just tell the truth and right, just leave it at that, instead of creating all this other stuff because somebody doesn't agree with your picture of an orb, you know, or, you know, this is a ghost or something like this. And it's just, it's gotten out of control. I mean, have you recently had to kind of just be like, you know, investigate a little bit more about the paranormal, you know, events that have been going on? If people ask you to help them?
I get asked for help on a daily basis. Every morning I come in here, I already have messages on the phone. I have emails and then direct messages on social media. So I go through some of them. Some of the people I respond to, I don't respond to everyone. Mostly the people that I do not respond to are the demanding ones. The ones that, right. I mean, when I, what's the rating on the show? Like, can I curse or not?
Oh, you go ahead. Okay. Do whatever you want.
I just want to make sure. I've had emails over the years that starts out with "Dear motherfucker." And you know, like, and it either escalates or stays steady from there. I mean, sometimes they've escalated where, like, people they end with, "I hope your whole family dies in a car crash." You know,
oh my god,
that's the kind of stuff that I get once in a while. Other times it's mostly just yelling at me for debunking a picture or writing an article about somebody, but they don't tell me who. They yell at me, but they don't tell me why they're yelling at me. So I don't really answer them, except sometimes I'm like, you know, I'm bored. All right. Who are we talking about? You know, you got to give me a little bit more here.
Right.
But I mean, other times people are sending me photos and video and I'm happy to help when I have time.
Right.
Cause I do have, I don't know if you can see it. I have a whiteboard here right there. Of projects that are, I'm currently working on. So I have, there's 17 up there right now, between articles, videos, books that I'm working on, and then a couple other things. So the other projects that I do around here. So there's a lot, and I don't mind helping though. I really don't mind. And I don't mind sharing the knowledge that I've gained, because I do have an extensive knowledge of photography and video editing. Cause not just in general, like, I'm not going to make a cinematic film anytime soon because it's a ton of time for that. But when it comes to not really special effects, but more practical effects to simulate poltergeist activity or ghostly figures or something like that, I can usually figure out what's going on. Not all the time, but usually I can. Or at least one or two ways of creating that same effect to replicate that video. So I don't mind sharing that. And I think that's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, like, if we're a community, we're supposed to be trying to help each other. You're not helping each other by just agreeing blindly. You don't blindly agree with everyone, because that doesn't lead to progress whatsoever. You need to challenge each other. You need to question. If you see something that you don't accept, you say it. You don't have to be an a-hole about it, you know. Like, you can say, "Hey, you know, like, I'm not so sure. What do you have to back that up?" I don't think there's any problem with that. There should be no problem with that. But I think, as you were alluding to, like, people get offensive, and they get upset when you challenge their belief. When you don't believe them at their word, they're like,
oh my God, they're yeah. beside themselves.
Like, that's the way it is, bitch.
Get over yourself. All right, right. So here's a question for you. Do you think if the paranormal in respects to ghost demons such actually exist that we will one day have the scientific method to prove it?
Maybe. I mean, if we're dealing with hypotheticals, which this is, I mean, if right. they actually exist, then one day, yes, I think science would advance enough to be able to figure it out. I can tell you up front, it's not going to be the majority of the community. The ghost hunters that we have now, they are pretty much all amateurs. These are weekend warriors. And I'm not trying to be mean when I say that. This is a hobby that people do.
Yeah, it's a hobby.
And there's a very severe lack of knowledge and understanding when it comes to science right. and experimental mm-hmm. controls mm-hmm. and variables and understanding how the devices work that they're using. Understanding that the devices that are being used are not useful in what they're doing, you know, like, I mean, not to name names, but stuff like this, you know, like it's junk. Yeah. And we have to understand that. And that's one thing, like right. stuff like this, that's a good example. And I don't want to, you know, put any eyes on you, but when, if someone's advertising a piece of equipment that they guarantee, or they claim 100% can talk to ghosts, but they don't tell you how it works, don't buy it. Don't bother. Because if you don't know how it works, you can't right. explain it. You have right. no idea what's setting right. it off or what could it set it off. So if you go on a video and you post it on your YouTube channel and you're like, hey, look, you know, I asked a question and this little light lit up. That must be a ghost.
Right.
Honestly, you look silly.
Right. You know who Shane Peake is?
No.
He used to be my other host for my first show I did, but he collects his data by numbers. Everything is zeros and ones. Everything is, I mean, seriously.
Binary?
Yeah. I mean, it's all, he's written papers for colleges that specifically focus on paranormal and this and that. If you're not friends with him, he's a skeptic. But he's also a debunker. He's also, you know, and you two would have a great conversation. He's got some equipment that he's created that cannot lie. And he will explain to you exactly how it works.
Well, that's good. I like that.
Yeah. So Shane Feek is his name, and he's a good friend of mine. Just to pick his brain or even just have a conversation with him would actually is very eye opening. You know?
Interesting. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
definitely
interesting. Okay. But yeah. So there are people out there that can create that stuff. You know what I mean? It's,
well, I guess
far few in between.
It comes down to, like, I don't know this gentleman, and I don't know, you said he's written papers for colleges and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this means he's actually publishing academic papers that are in peer reviewed journals.
I'm not sure. I think so, but I'm not sure. It's been a while since I,
because that's a big difference. I mean, I write articles too, but they're not peer reviewed papers.
I think they are. So,
and it would be interesting to see what's being presented and how well it's received. So this, I mean, I wrote his name down. I can look it up later.
I can look
to see if anything's published. Mm-hmm. But it's very hard to find anyone like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not, but unfortunately, so let me rephrase that. It's very difficult to find anyone with a good science background that's willing to talk about it and publish papers. Mm-hmm. However, you definitely can find a whole bunch of people that claim to be an authority on it that have no freaking clue what they're doing.
The authority of the masses. Yeah.
Yes. Authority from popularity.
Right?
Yeah.
Look how popular I am. I can do this. I can do that.
Yeah. And, I mean, most of my, when I do lectures, I always talk about like consulting experts and this and that. And when I'm on that point of the presentation, I always say like, consult an expert. That does not mean a paranormal celebrity. Mm-hmm. That's just basic, basic understanding. You don't take a TV ghost hunter and say they're an expert because they are, unless they, I mean, like Jason Hawes, going to say good example of this. Like, I would not ask him advice on ghost hunting because I don't think he's an expert in that, even though he's a good friend of mine.
Right.
He is a plumber and I know he's certified. He's a certified plumber and he's got all the licensing and lots of experience and he knows his shit with that. So I would ask him every single day if I have a plumbing problem, I would absolutely call him up.
Right.
And say, what do you think of this?
And I don't think that he would be offended if you didn't call him an expert in ghost hunting.
No, I have already talked to him about this. I mean, Jay, nice guy, super nice guy, very down to earth. And just, he's willing to talk to anyone, you know, like we've sat late at night, hanging out, drinking and just talking about different things, debating about stuff. Mm-hmm. He knows my views. I know his views and it is what it is. We don't take it personally.
Right.
And I think that's a lesson that the rest of the community can learn is that this is business. You know, like when we're out doing conventions and if I'm visiting a convention, doing a presentation with other speakers there, like this is business when we debate, but I can have a heated debate with somebody. And as soon as we're done, go to the bar, hang out, have a drink, you know, and we're hanging out and having fun, up on the stage doing karaoke.
Oh, good Lord. That's funny.
And that's happening. Yeah.
I believe it. So, so what about, has there anything that you've been working on lately that takes and gives your skeptic side a little bit of a challenge?
Everything really is a challenge, to be honest. It's not necessarily, is this paranormal? Because honestly, that's the last thing I would think of. Because everything that happens, every experience, every photograph that's claimed to be of a ghost or video, all this stuff, audio clips, there's a reason it happened. Something caused it.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to find the cause. And I think that's the problem. So many people never find the cause, but they make the assumption and then make that a conclusion that it's a ghost or a demon when they don't have the evidence or data to back it up.
Right. So when in doubt, throw it out.
Well, maybe not throw it out. I wouldn't go that far.
when in doubt, throw it on the shelf.
Like if you have a weird experience, because there's been plenty of times when I've been to a place and maybe saw a shadow or heard a noise and go to the location where I thought I came from, can't find a source. And I write it down. I write everything down in a notebook right away, all the details I can remember. And then I search the site because that's the way I investigate. I don't just sit around in a room all night and ask questions of the dark. If something happens, then that's when I work. But if I can't find something in 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, maybe an hour going back and forth, then I put the notes in a file and put it in my file cabinet. Yes, I have two file cabinets with real physical paper files over there. I put it in there and it sits until I get new information. So I don't throw it out per se. I just file it away until anything else comes of it and I can reopen it and look it over again.
Okay. That's cool. So have you had one, let's say a case that you've been worked on that you just can't find an answer either way? You know what I mean? Or that you,
Yeah. I mean, I can give you one off the top of my head, but there's plenty of times. I don't want to make it seem like every time I investigate, I solve it because that's not the case, at all. Right. But there's been one, the one that always comes to mind is White Hill Mansion in New Jersey. I was there one night. It was just me, my wife, the caretaker. She was there, and that was it. And we were talking about some event that was happening the next day, walking around. We went into the basement. Have you ever been to White Hill?
No, I haven't.
Mm-mm. They have a basement bar that is awesome.
Really?
I mean, it's not a fully stocked bar, but it's a...
But it's a bar.
It's a bar. It's a nice, long bar. Okay. I mean, it's a good, like, 14, 16 feet long.
Oh, wow.
It's a nice one. So we're standing in the bar room at the bottom of the stairs, and we hear a bang upstairs, like a nice, good-sized bang, like somebody, like, just jumped and slammed down on the floor. And I was like, all right. That sounds like something. Let's go see what it is, you know, because there's nobody supposed to be here. And we ran upstairs, couldn't find anything. But the stairway opens up into an old restaurant area that was only one floor. So the roof is right above it. The ceiling is the roof. And there's plenty of trees all around. So it could have been a branch that fell off a tree, because that happens a lot there. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't find anything. It could have been a tree that hit the roof and then rolled off or bounced off. But I couldn't find anything right there. So to me, that's still a mystery. I don't know what caused it. So when I can't conclude anything. All I can say is I don't know what happened.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, it'd be great if we had cameras set up outside or something like that.
Right.
You know, but.
But it's the gamut of that it. Those type of things always happen when there's no camera around, nobody's around to hear it. You know, it's like, how convenient is that? You know what I mean? It's just, it's almost like, I mean, if it was actually spiritual in that sense, they got to be laughing their ass off. Because he's, that's the way I look at it.
If that was the case, and give the benefit of the doubt, like, let's say it was a ghost and they're like, hey, let's screw with them here.
Right.
You didn't record anything. What's the point?
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, is that just a practical joke? Then it's something that will never be solved, because now we're assuming that it's a intelligent entity that just wants to play pranks. That's invisible and intangible and can do whatever it wants. So there's no way you're going to find out.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Have you ran into something that you would perceive on the other side of the skeptical spectrum, saying, "Yeah, I think that was something. That was something there.
Something,
as like in spirit wise.
No,
never.
No, that's because you again. It comes down to, if you don't find the cause, you can't make that right there would be an assumption.
Okay.
So if I hear a noise, and I go into a room and where I thought the noise was, and I can't find what caused it. If I think, well, that could have been a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it could have been a unicorn. You know?
Right.
And I mean,
that's
a good reaction. You're laughing.
Right.
It's funny because I said unicorn. Right. But honestly, that's the same comparison.
Right.
You know? Like, I'm not going to invoke a supernatural conclusion because it fits into what I may or may not believe.
Okay, so that goes back to my point of the majority, I think, of people in the paranormal field like that would go to that assumption.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I see it all the time where something weird happens or a noise happens. And I mean, 9 times out of 10, in my experience, I want to make that clear, in my own experience, I will see someone in a room like this, and they're sitting there waiting, going, all right, waiting for something to happen. You hear a bang, and they're like, did you hear that? That was a noise. This is what they do. They just sit there.
Right.
And they don't get up. They don't go check it out. They don't investigate, which is what they're supposed to do. They sit and watch. And later on, when they tell that story, they're going to be like, yeah, we heard this noise, and it was probably Fred, the ghost that we know haunts that place. So Fred was active. And you know, I know you've been in those situations.
I have.
You know, it goes from could it be Fred to at the end of the night, it is.
Isn't anybody going to get up and go look?
I mean, that's the first thing I do. It's as soon as something weird happens.
I think majority of us people who have investigated paranormal stuff like that in houses or buildings, we've all been there. We've all done that. We've all sat in a circle and said, okay, we heard a noise. Who's getting up and looking? You know? I did have an experience at my buddy Josh. He's actually a really good cameraman. And he took me to a place where it was supposedly, it's an old building in this old part of town. And we were downstairs in this basement area. And it was, we were sitting on these chairs. Well, to get down the stairs, at the top of the stairs, you have to go down and there's a little landing and then go the opposite way to go the rest of the way downstairs. Now, there's a light switch. That's a regular light switch. It was on. Now, we're sitting down there and the light switch, the light turned off to the landing, to the upstairs and the landing. I'm like, that light just went off. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, is somebody going to go look? You know, I was just like, and we all just sat there and I'm like, and so eventually I went up there and kind of, it was off when it was on because I turned it on. You know what I mean? Now you go back and think, okay, could it have been a faulty switch? Could it be, but it clicked when you turned it on. You know what I mean? So it was a solid, you know, it wasn't one of these loose ones where you could turn it on, then it'll eventually fall itself down. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where there's no grip to it.
I would not make an assumption on that.
Right, right.
We don't know until I was in front of it to see the switch itself. Right. You know? And I think that's a good lesson there, is that we got to stop making assumptions.
Right, right. I agree.
We have to be right there. We have to look. If something happens, we go to the source that we think is the source and go inspect it at the time.
We investigate.
I think too many people call themselves paranormal investigators and forget the investigator part.
Mm-hmm.
They remember the paranormal because everything is a ghost or a demon or a shadow person or, you know, whatever new freaking apparition thing there is this year. But they forget about the investigation part.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, I don't think most of what we see, which is called investigations, is not an investigation. When you sit around in the dark
and you're not investigating,
you're doing a stakeout. That's what you're doing. You're
staking ghosts out.
You're staking it out. You're waiting for something to happen. You are no better than the FBI agents that are across the street from the pizza shop
in a van.
that's what it is. I don't do that. I mean, I do it. Let me rephrase that. I don't do it when I investigate places. When I'm tagging along on ghost hunts that are run by other people, then I sit there with them and just watch them. But when I investigate, I usually have claims already written down, like all the claims that are testable at that location.
Right.
And that's what I work on. I'm not sitting around at all. All right, this claim is in this room and they said this happens all the time. I'm going to check this. Right. Let's see what's going on.
Well, look at that though. I mean, all those claims I was talking with my last guest, Jen, about how the rumor mill starts about how 1 minute they can say this happened at this location and it could survive for 100 years to come to find out it was all bogus.
Yes.
You know? So how many of those, I mean, if you actually take a list of like say a location, you got that list and you're like, I got to check this story and this story and this, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, how many are bunk and how many are.
That's the trick, you know, like that's one of the things you do before. That's part of the investigation. Make sure there's something to investigate.
Right. But that's because, the whole thing, though. Those guys come there and say, oh, we swear it's this, and it's been this way forever, and, you know, and then they get pissed at you because you're like, it's a bogus statement.
I mean, I, part of my stuff, like, when I know I'm going to a location, probably about a week beforehand, I will start digging into, investigating the history of the place.
Right.
Looking through newspaper articles, any kind of records, census records, this and that.
That ties those stories to that location.
I want to find those people that are being named and find out what they did. Were they actually there? I want to know if the events that surround it. Let's say, for example, someone committed a well, I don't know if you're allowed to say that anymore. if they unlived
themselves.
Yeah. In that, like, 100 years ago, you want to actually verify that. You want to see if, because you should be able to find that. Mm-hmm. That'll be in the local newspaper. You'll be able to find some kind of mention of this. And if you can't, then your question is, well, where did this story come from?
Right. You know, that's the key right there, is where the story originated from.
Yeah. You know,
and that sometimes is harder than finding out the truth of the story.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's almost too easy. You know, like, you can go through all these historical occurrences that are alleged to have happened, find out that you never did. And then when you start talking to neighbors and former residents, because that's something I also do, I reach out to former residents, former owners of a house, and say, hey, has this ever happened? You know, anything weird? And you find out that all the stories started with the current owner. It's like, oh, and that current owner is what, charging $500-$600 a night
for people
to stay there? I wonder why the stories came about.
So now, have you, speaking of that, when you were talking about that with the owner and all this other stuff, have you ran into to somebody that's actually blatantly trying to take advantage of people for doing that?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's depends on how you want to go with this. Cause
it's
homeowners that have made up stories, completely made up stories, in order to sell overnight stays. And there was a place I recently wrote about it. The Belair House, none of the stories existed until the current owner took over. None of them. I talked to all the owners, three owners before her, talked to them all. Nothing ever happened. No weird stuff. Not one bit. And even the stories that were presented, they changed over time, because that's another thing you got to look at. Not just who originated the story, but what was the original story, you know, and see how it changes over time. Because that's a big deal, too. Mm-hmm. You start seeing details getting added and added and added. And it's like, wait a minute. What's the source of this? Because
this wasn't this way a month ago.
Yeah, like, stop playing George Lucas. Don't keep making special edition after special edition. Stop messing with the film, man.
right. Oh, my gosh. That's funny. So, we don't want to go back. We want to go forward.
Yeah. You know, and it's difficult, because, like, I try to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. I go in to any location wanting, like, I don't know what's going on. I want something to be true. I want to see a ghost. I seriously want one to pop up in front of me. That would be awesome.
Right.
So I go to a location and I want to find something cool, but my purpose is to find the truth. Not, my purpose is not to debunk it and not to disprove or to prove it. My job is to find out what's going on.
Right.
The truth, bottom line.
Truth. Right.
So I try to leave all my biases here in the office. When I go on location, I want to go in and just look. I'm going in to find the truth, but I'm hopeful something will happen.
That's got to be not as easy as it sounds.
It's not. It really is. That's something that's learned over time.
Do you take medication for that?
There you go. No, you know, like, it is difficult, because You can get easily jaded.
Right.
To be honest, like when you go to location after location after location, you do all these research because it's not like I'm spending 4 hours in a place and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a week before, it's weeks after. I think like the Belair House was, that was a good like 4 or 5 months on that.
Holy cow.
Just on the research, tracking down people, past owners, people associated with the house, other crews that have been there, other ghost hunting groups that have been there, tracking everyone down and trying to get interviews. Same with the, like the Monroe House. I was there with Joe Vitale and Jeff from Boo Productions. We went there and that was months ago and I'm still working on that here and there because I'm trying to find all the paperwork. And it's not just about going there for 4 hours or 4 or 5 hours or even overnight, because even those people sleep.
Right.
We can get into the no sleep thing if you want to. But you can't just go there and expect to make a determination that easy. Because you don't have all the information. So many people, and I think you touched on it, so many people go in there just already accepting the stories without any research whatsoever. They go in, blindly accept them, and say, oh, we're going to go. We've heard Fred was in here. We're going to find Fred.
Yeah.
And I guarantee
and the unicorn.
They find Fred.
Yeah. No, that's, it's so true. I mean, it's just, you know, the stories are just are out of control, but I think you do a lot of research. So there's gotta be a time where you could say, I just don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the truth is because I can't find that.
There is a case. This is not a ghost case or even a paranormal case. It's paranormal adjacent case. So there is a Rose Mackenberg is a woman who she was Houdini's chief investigator. And what she would do would when Harry Houdini would plan his tour, she would go ahead of his tour to all the towns that he was booked at several weeks in advance. And she would book readings with the local psychics. And she would go in there and she was trained by Houdini. So she understood many of the tricks that they use during a seance.
Right.
She would go in there, figure out what they're doing, how they're doing it, and then report back to Houdini, who, when he eventually came to that town and did his show, the second part of his show was doing the exact same seance of the local psychic. It was a brilliant idea. It was brilliant.
All right.
But, so Rose Mackenberg, one of my heroes, to be honest. I mean, I thought she was great. The way she used disguises, the way she infiltrated, the way she understood how to go undercover. I thought she was just amazing. She passed away in, oh my goodness, I think 90s or 80s, 80s. It's been a while. But I have no idea where her grave is. I've been searching for years. I've contacted funeral homes. I've contacted the New York Court of Orphans to get the death certificate. I have the death certificate. There's two cemeteries that are listed on the death certificate, and both of which have no record of her. Because I've been, not only did I call the offices of both cemeteries, but I've visited both cemeteries. I've walked for hours and hours in both cemeteries trying to find her grave.
Have you looked in any New Orleans cemeteries?
What?
New Orleans?
She wouldn't be in there. She died, fortunately, without any... She died penniless in a hospital in New York City. And she was put in a... We think colleagues of mine have come together, and because she was Jewish, the traditions of a Jewish burial came into play, and they think that she was buried in an unmarked grave because it had to be done within a certain period of time. And because she didn't have any money, she didn't have any money to buy a grave. And there's a lot to it. I have one more lead that I'm I'm waiting for, but it's in the New York system. So, I mean, to get her death certificate, it took me 2 years to get her death certificate.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So I'm waiting to get a copy of her will in order to see if there's any information on there that might lead to where she might be, or a family member or something like that. So, but so that's wow. one that I've been working on forever. I have no conclusion for it. Not yet, mm-hmm. but that's something I'll work on for the rest of my life. Cause it's that important to me.
So. Right. I mean, to be honest, the way you do your research and the way you were just talking about, you know, finding this person, maybe you should be doing missing persons.
I've taken part in some of them. Mm-hmm. Actually there's a few that I took part in, but one I was following. My editor and I kind of made it wasn't a bet. It was a project where we said, you know what, let's follow a missing person case that is being worked on by psychics. You know, because I come across all the time where I'm told psychics have helped with missing person cases, with murder cases, and I've investigated dozens, and none of them have turned out to be true. And it's depressing. It really is depressing. I won't get into that because it just pisses me off. But I agreed to do this. And I had found a missing person case that was in New Jersey. And it was 2 hours north of where I used to live in Philly. And I was following the case. And ironically, the missing girl was at a psychic reading show of a famous psychic the night before she went missing. And
wow,
I don't want to get you in trouble, but it was somebody that your previous guest mentioned. But this psychic had no idea.
Okay. No, that. I know exactly. Yeah. I know
no
exactly
idea that there was something bad going to happen. Nothing. And I even questioned that psychic and I got bullshit answers. Mm-hmm. So it was about 2 weeks after she was missing. And police, it became kind of a cold case. The police were dialing it back because they didn't have the resources to keep going.
Right.
So the family was organizing search parties and I went up, I signed up and I was part of the search party looking for this young lady. And I got to tell you, like I worked rescue for 7 years. And I think I've worked on bodies. I've worked on people that have died in front of me. I've brought them back. I've lost people. But this was the scariest moment of my life. I'm walking with a line of people, and I'm thinking, oh, if I find this young lady, oh, my goodness, I'm gonna be devastated.
Right.
This is going to be this is going to be weird and shocking and upsetting because so many things are going to happen. We didn't find her. But when I left, there was two kids that were about 15 minutes north of an area where I was going to search because I kind of looked into the person that they thought kidnapped her or killed her. And I found his route to go home and I found this and that. And I was like, this is the route I think he would take. And I was going to go search there, but I didn't have time. So I left, I went home. Found out the two kids walking to work found her body in that spot where I was going to go. And I was like, oh, you know, like it's a weird feeling because you were like, you get that one thought, like, oh, I knew it. I kind of knew it. I knew that, but you can't get excited or celebrate because this is not a situation where you get excited or celebrate. It's a very,
it's a very morbid, like
sad situation. I mean, this young lady was kidnapped by her boyfriend and he killed her that night after seeing a psychic that allegedly could see the future. So that really, really angered me because that could have been preventable if these powers were true. And that's all I want to say about that. But
okay, no, that's totally fine. No, I mean, yeah, there's my last guest, Jen, we talked about different aspects of, you know, mediumship and all that and what people do and whatnot. So, no, to have that, I've always looked at that as in, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could, you know what I mean? It's a very morbid.
Yeah.
It kind of makes you feel, and I hate using this word, but it makes you feel icky.
It does. It does. And I,
you know, and I don't like
that. I mean, I would like to do it. And once in a while I start down that path because I'll see something that catches my attention and, right. and I'm like, you know, I wonder if I could find anything, you know, maybe to help. And it's no superpowers or anything. It's just, let me look and right. give a different perspective. Then I start getting down the rabbit hole and it consumes me. I don't have a diagnosed OCD, but I'm pretty sure I have OCD because
once you get down there, then it's kind of like everything, all the books just
everything is there.
And then you're just there and you, and
I will be in this office and my wife will text me like, are you coming home? And I'll realize it's 7-8 o'clock at night. And I was supposed to be home at 5, you know, and I'm like, what time is it? And I'm totally zoned out. Like, what time is it? Holy shit. Okay. I gotta go. But sometimes when she goes away for like a vacation or she visits friends, dude, they can find me in the morning. I'm still here because I'm so hooked and I'm trying to put pieces together and all my monitors here are filled with information. And like, I think I'm on to something. Right. I think I know where this person is, or I think I know this. And, but yeah, it's obsessive. And I think it would be difficult the first few times. And this is going to sound morbid too, but I think after so many times you would grow
numb to it.
And that scares me too. I don't want to be that way.
Right. You know, right. You know, even like police officers or people in the military say you just get used to it. And I don't know if I could, you know,
I mean, like I said, I've worked on people. I've seen people die in front of me and brought them back. Sometimes I don't, you know, and that's part of the job. And you kind of get used to it. And you did get used to it. And it sucked. But I've been away from that for so long. I don't want to go back to that.
But
it's also the other side of the coin is like, if I can help, should I?
Mm-hmm.
Like I should, you know, but it hasn't come to that yet, you know, but if I did uncover any information about somebody, I would definitely pass it on.
Right. Well, and that's good human nature. So, yeah. You know, you want to be able to, you know what I mean? You want to be that good person. Right. And like I tell everybody, you know, be your true authentic self.
Yeah.
I mean, don't try to snow anybody.
Right.
You know? So yeah. Well, Kenny, this has been a great conversation. Awesome. It's almost an hour. Holy cow. But yeah, I mean, this has been a lot of fun and, you know, I love picking your brain, your skeptical brain.
Was it easier than you expected?
Yeah, no, it was totally fine. It was totally cool. I mean, I like your stuff that you put up, and I know we've had other run-ins with other people that you've investigated, and you know, so it's just like I know some of the stuff that you're doing now, but I also like to see or to hear a different perspective on some, you know, some other things about the paranormal and this and that, to try to keep my mind open. In that sense, you know what I mean? To kind of,
you gotta, you know, like you if know, you, yeah. So if you, and I don't know if you have to go, I mean, you have to go right away.
No.
If you just stay in your own circle, you are just essentially staying in your own echo chamber, and that you're never going to progress. You're going to stay stagnant. Right. You're going to stay in one place. You're never going to develop. You're never going to broaden your mind and expand your intelligence or experience. You're never going to do it.
Right.
If you have to get out there and look at other perspectives, look at the opposing views, because that's how you understand where other people are coming from. That's why I go to paranormal conferences and events. Like, I'm not going just to screw with people. I'm going to understand why people believe what they believe, why they think the way they do,
right?
And what do they have to offer to support that? You know, and
that's opened your mind as well. Yes, right?
Like I'll absolutely okay. explain anything, that I from my perspective, but I'm gonna hear you out. Like having an open mind right. means willing to consider new information. It doesn't mean blindly right. believing something. It means if you have information, I'm going to say, all right, hit me, lay it on me. And then right. I'm going to listen to you.
Right.
And then we're going to consider it. And if there's
right.
if there's evidence against it that refutes it, I'm going to say, look, you know, there's science-based evidence that says no. And so right. far, I'm going to go with the right. science-based evidence. So I'm going to reject what you're saying right now. And it's nothing personal. However, if there's no evidence right. to refute that, I'm going to say, oh, well, you know what? That's a interesting idea. Let's try it. Let's see what happens,
right.
you
right.
know? And if right. it proves right. to be something beneficial and valid, then yeah, I'm going to accept it and incorporate it into my worldview. But on the mm-hmm. other side of the coin, you have people that are closed-minded, which are usually the people that call other people closed-minded. But the closed-minded people are the right. ones that they know what they saw.
Right.
No matter what you say, it doesn't matter because they're going to believe what they want to believe. That's being closed-minded. That right. you're not willing right. to accept any, you're not willing to consider any other information. You're done.
Right.
You're like, I know what I know. And there mm-hmm. are usually the people that look at me and say, well, you're closed-minded. You're a cynic. All right.
Right.
Want me to hold up a mirror? Like, because that's what you should be yeah. looking at, not me.
That's usually what it, yeah, yeah. That's usually what happens.
So
yeah.
all right. Yeah. I didn't mean to keep you any longer, but
yeah. No, that's cool. And like I said before, you know, I mean, it's just having an open mind, like you said, you know, and like we were talking about, and being your authentic self, and you know, accepting, you know, that it's not easy for everybody. But, you know, there you come across some people that are really very good at it, you know, that are very open-minded, and you're just like, wow, that was yeah. easy.
I think you just got to get over your hump. Get over the hump of
yeah.
being yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Get out of your own
yeah.
way.
Yeah, that's it. You know, too yeah. many people rely on, mm-hmm. I want to be famous, you know, or I want to be
important. Oh, good Lord. Don't get me started on that.
Shit. I mean, I'm just.
It's like just.
I want to just do what I do. Yeah. I want to do my work.
You're right. Right. I don't need to be famous to do it. Nope. I can just do it.
I come in here. I put my pants on one leg at a time. I poop right. like everyone else. Yeah. You know, like there's nothing special about me.
Yeah.
I'm right. lucky enough to have right. a job where I can focus on this and learn and understand right. what's going on and provide that
information. And that's really cool that you do that.
Thanks.
You
know, I love
it. You'll have to let me know that, you know, let me know if you get any, if you start doing any more of the missing persons cases and stuff. I'd like to pick your brain
okay.
and hear what you say about that. That'd be kind of cool. So, all right. Well, everybody, do you want to tell everybody where they can find you, or are you anywhere that you want to be found?
I'm everywhere. I'm not a private person. So yeah, you can find me.
Okay.
If you look on skepticalinquirer.org, you can find my work on there. I have an author's page with, I'm proud to say, over 100 entries. So that's articles and nice. Videos that I've produced for them. So there's not many people that have reached that mark, but I've been able to do that. If you want to, I have a YouTube channel under my name, Kenny Biddle. Every Friday night, I do the Skeptical Help Bar live stream at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And it's pretty much every Friday, not this Friday though, because this Friday I'll be in Virginia at the Hanover Tavern okay. Paracon. I'm okay. speaking down there along with my, one of my co-hosts for the Three Tortured Souls stream that I do, Dave Schumacher. Me and him are doing a presentation for the Paracon. So, but yeah, otherwise, I mean, I'm everywhere. I'm on social medias. I'm on Facebook and I'm on Blue Sky. I am not on that X thing anymore because
I'm not either.
Yeah. I'm also on TikTok. I do a lot of TikTok videos where I recreate a lot of the videos, the paranormal video.
This is on TikTok right now.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So I'm on there. If you just look up Kenny Biddle, like my channel's there. I have probably like 150 videos on there where it's just taking other poltergeist videos and stuff like that. And I recreate
fucking overachiever.
I have no idea. No idea. My wife is, she doesn't know how I do it. I sleep like 4 hours a night, because I'm constantly up doing this kind of stuff. And I just love it. Yeah. I love what I do. So I never stop. Never stop learning. It says so right there.
Nice. Never stop learning.
There you go.
All right, man. Well, I want to thank you. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. And tomorrow night, I have a special guest. Nathan.
Ooh.
Nathan Ewell.
I don't know him.
Do you believe?
No.
Yep. So, I've got a show every day.
You're just belting them out, dude. Like, what's the deal?
You're trying
to get a whole season in a week.
I hit the ground running.
Nice.
Yeah.
I noticed that. I was because after I talked to you and I saw one of your posts, and I was like, wait, he's doing a show Sunday night and then two on Monday night. I'm like, damn.
Right. That's awesome. I got Nathan Ewell tomorrow night, and then I got one Wednesday, one Thursday. Yeah, you know,
busy guy.
I just didn't want to sit on my hands.
I hear you. Know? I never stop, dude. If I sit around too long, I will literally stand up. Like, I'll sit on the couch. My wife is on the other side watching TV, and I'll stand up and just put my hands in my hoodie because I'm always wearing a hoodie, and kind of look around. She's like, "What's wrong? I'm bored. I'm going to go out to the garage.
Exactly.
I'm going to build something."
Right? So. Yeah. I hate being bored too.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, brother. We appreciate it. And you have a fantastic week.
Thank you, sir.